D-Mace Finnegan and Donick, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. And we are presented by Bet365. Whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Willie Donick, Adam Vingan, David Janes here with you. Derek Mason will be along shortly.
Shortly.
We hope.
Yeah.
So when Derek is on his way and he's going to be in right before the show starts, he texts us, coming in hot. So our phone vibrates in our little group chat before the show, and I'm expecting a coming in hot text from Derek Mason. But instead I got this, quote, got pulled over, maybe a little late. So Derek?
Been there. Had that happen. Have had that happen.
What's with our station having car problems today?
They say things happen in threes, so like, who's going to be the third of us to have something happen with the...
So Joe Rexrode missed the morning show today because he got into a car accident attempting to avoid a deer.
Oh.
He is okay, everybody. Joe Rexrode is A-okay.
Okay.
But he
That's the first thing.
But
that's
he did
important.
Get into a car accident. And now Derek Mason being pulled over.
Oh.
So Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, if you're listening, one of you may have some car issues between
Please
now
be careful.
And 2 o'clock.
Yes, really. Let's be on full alert. I have a question about the deer.
Yes.
I actually, in East Nashville, and we do not live near Shelby Park or anywhere close to the... I mean, we're near Shelby Park, but our house is towards downtown Nashville, on that side of East Nashville. I had a deer and a baby go through my back alley the other day. I've never seen that. I've lived there for 20... We have lived there for almost 25 years. It'll be 25 years in the fall. Never have seen that. I feel like this is, you know, this happened. So the question came up the other day. When you are encountering a deer that jumps out into the road, and unfortunately it happens, it's happening more. Like, I driving back from Ohio, I just noticed so many deer on the side of the road. But what are you instructed to do? Like, seriously, from a safety standpoint? Because, Joe, you just said your instinct is to avoid the deer, right?
Yes.
And you can't always avoid it, but sometimes avoiding it creates more danger, right?
Right.
If you're swerving into another lane or you're swerving off the road, I've always wondered that. Like, I don't know what I would do in the moment. But, like, a big deer can do a lot of, obviously, can do some damage to your car.
I know what not to
do. We encountered the turkey.
I was about to say, I know what not to do when encountering a wild turkey.
Yes.
To be fair, that turkey came out of nowhere.
I did a great job not having a full-on collision with the turkey.
Because it was heading right for me. Because it came from the passenger side.
I felt totally safe on the driver's side. But I don't know if a texter or two could help us with this of... What should your, like, obviously you want to avoid it. You want to hit the brakes and hopefully you don't hit the deer. But, like, if you're in a really tough spot, what are you supposed to do?
Well, Derek Mason is here.
Yeah.
What'd you do?
Well.
Oh, boy.
Fortunately, I had a run-in with the fuzz.
You ran afoul of the law.
So this is,
run
Derek
in with
did
the fuzz.
Not run into a deer or
no.
be a counter deer. He ran into the fuzz.
I ran into the fuzz.
Joe Rexrode had the deer issue. So just to clarify, we've had two issues this morning.
And it came to my attention as well as his that I may have been a tad bit over the speed limit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, just a tad bit. I mean, he noticed it. I didn't.
What's the numerical measure of a tad? We're talking 5 miles an hour, 7 miles an hour?
I guess anything over, 10, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah. So I was right at that threshold of 12. So
I on occasion like to try 12. To find where that threshold is.
Yeah.
And so more than a tad.
I may have been a little bit higher because I was trying to get, but anyway. I ran afoul with the fuzz, and, he pulled me over and, he asked me.
Did he say, wait a minute, you're Derek Mason?
No, he said, where are you going? I said, I'm headed to work. And that's why I was, I would have my, what do TD call them? Get somewhere shoes. I had my get somewhere tires, and I was trying to get somewhere. And so we struck up a brief conversation, and then we went back. And he came back, and he said, "Well, it has come to my attention, Mr. Mason, that you like to do this frequently."
Oh. Ooh.
I said, "No." I said, "That was years ago. That was passé. That was so far."
That was reset. The old Derek Mason. It resets yeah. after a while, doesn't it?
That's what I thought. I thought that. But that was the old Derek Mason. You know, that was the guy that.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're can't.
You're an older, wiser Derek.
Exactly. Mason. Absolutely. Yeah. I'm much wiser now. So much. So much so. It was
this
only.
This was more of a hiccup and not a pattern.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. There we go, Willie.
Well, let me ask you this question.
There we
so,
go.
So, in the NHL, when a yes. player runs afoul of the Department of Player Safety,
yes.
that player is considered a repeat offender for 18 months following his most recent incident. So if you okay. are suspended mm-hmm. 2 years after your most recent infraction, you are not considered a repeat offender. But within 18 months, you are. So would you be considered a repeat offender?
Yeah,
Derek
because
Mason?
I think I got a last speeding ticket may have been 2 years ago,
well,
a year somewhere.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So I'm right there. I'm right there. So that was a hiccup, like Willie said. It was just a hiccup. That's all. So, but hey, listen, you know, he did his job, and I did my job. You know, the crazy part about it was, you know, when you're getting pulled over, or anybody that has gotten pulled over, which is probably 85% of the population that drives, for some reason. And you're on that far left lane, the fast lane, mm-hmm. and then the cop comes, and they, you know what? I think they take driver's courses to know how to pull up on you so smooth, and then just sit back there. And I think they got a timer on their watch and say, okay, I'm going to drive behind them for about 10 seconds, and then I'm going to flick my lights. He drove behind me for about 5 seconds, flicked his lights. But then as I'm trying to get all the way back over, I'm thinking like, okay, I don't want to get off here because it's going to be hard for me to get back on. I don't want to get off on this exit because then I got to double back around and get back on the freeway. So let me keep on going until I have a spot where I can park. He's safe. I'm safe. But then I can get back on the road once he does what he has to do. Well, I'm still driving. He hit that. I was like, okay, let me pull over.
Okay, I'll go.
All right, my bad.
Just a sec. Yeah,
my bad. My bad. I'm sorry. Let me pull over.
Understood.
No, but I mean, the guy was nice. So, you know, he did his job. So,
Ron,
there you go.
Ron on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, guys, you're right. It comes in threes. And this is number two for you, D-Mace. Earlier, you were in a car accident with a young lady,
yes,
remember?
Yes, you're
right. Be careful,
right.
Because you've got one more coming, LOL.
God, Final Destination,
didn't
huh?
You have to bring that up, bro.
Exactly. You got one more ticket. It's coming somewhere.
To be fair, I don't remember which Final Destination movie it was, but the one that starts with the pile up on the highway with the log truck.
Yeah, that was
I can't drive behind
two.
A log truck or anything that's carrying a heavy load.
Oh, I don't blame
like
you.
Pipes or one of those car transporters, the big rig that has the 10 cars on that they're taking mm-hmm. somewhere. I'm scared out of
no,
my wits
blame
to
you.
Drive behind those things because of what
you.
I saw in Final Destination.
I think that was Final Destination 1. It may have been the original one where they were on the freeway and then the truck and all the stuff came out. And
it's bad. Yeah, one texter really said, when my son learned to drive, he kept asking, what's the speed limit? I said, whatever the guy in front of you is doing. He got pulled over the other day. The cop asked him how fast he was going. He said, my dad taught me it's whatever the guy in front of me is going.
They never get the first guy. They always yeah. get the second guy or girl, driver, yeah. let me say.
Well,
that's how it happens.
I'm always hesitant when I'm driving next to a police officer. If we're on the highway and I will never drive faster. If we're driving parallel,
I hate those drivers.
And let's say I'm going 65 and the cop is going 65. I'm not going 67.
The cop is playing with you, man.
I'm not doing it.
He's not going to pull you over if you get in front of him.
I'm not doing it.
Oh, I hate drivers like you.
I'm not tempting
fate.
Oh, my goodness. Willie, where do you stand on this?
I used to be like you, but now I have my system, though, on how you do it. You got to do it. You have to go past the cop. Because a lot of times the cop is
exactly.
like, I'm going to slow everybody down. I think he's just like, I'm going to cruise along and just make sure nobody goes blown by me. just so the whole pack is slower. But you've got to have the guts.
Yeah, you just get. You got to do it smooth.
I don't blow by. You got to smooth.
Exactly.
Don't make eye contact. It's got to inch along. Well, I'll just say this.
Inch along in this cruise vibe, and then you get a certain amount of distance.
Yeah.
Boom.
And then once you get far enough, it's like, okay.
I'll just say this, knocking on wood. I've been driving.
You will not pass a cop.
I've been driving for 20 years. Mm-hmm. I have never been pulled over for speeding.
Wow.
Well, that's good. That is great.
So
impressive.
I'm keeping
Keep your method.
I've been pulled over twice in my life. Once was for driving with an expired tag because I forgot to put the sticker on there. And the second was for having my phone in my hand.
You're Mr. Goody
Wow.
Two-Shoes.
You got nailed for the phone.
I did. Not far from here.
Oh, cool. How did it feel?
I mean, it's not great.
Yeah. You didn't feel like an outlaw?
I get what I deserve. I mean, the Tennessee State Police station is right over here.
Yeah, and you pulled out your phone.
So they're just waiting, I suppose.
So how did you feel? Did you feel like an outlaw? Did you feel like you, like, oh, yes?
No, I didn't feel like an outlaw at all.
Did you think about running?
No, definitely not. I put my hands at 10 and 2.
Guys, let's
I rolled down
PSA,
the window.
Don't run away from cops.
Yes. All ready PSA, to go. Do not run away from cops. I was just playing with Adam, okay?
All right, so Adam would be in the 99th percentile of speeding tickets.
Yes.
I'm curious where I would fall because I'm definitely not in the 99th. I don't think I'm in the, you know, 10th or
I think
something
I'm
like
somewhere
that.
I'm somewhere in the middle,
but I don't know if I'm the upper half or the lower half or I don't know.
I've had my share over the driving for a long time.
Randy on our text line, going back to Willie's question about deer.
The deer, yeah. What do you do?
Randy said, I hit two deer in a 14-month period last year. I was able to swerve into the other lane because it was late at night. If I hadn't been able to, I would have had a deer fly right through my windshield. It's a split-second decision. Oftentimes, it's a lose-lose choice.
Yeah.
We had a couple of other texters say, hit the deer.
Yeah.
Hit the deer.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Okay. You have to.
That's the thing. The lose-lose is kind of why I asked the question, because I don't know if people have done studies or things like what is the safer way.
You just got to clip it, man. I clipped a deer going, this was many years ago. I clipped a deer at night going north. I think I was going back to Michigan, driving back to Michigan. And I'm in, this big rig is behind me. It's a minute behind me. But I clipped this deer and he gets back up and you can tell, okay, I'm fine. But then that big semi just, boom. I was like, oh. But you get, because if you try to dodge the deer,
right, you're putting others.
Everybody else at risk, and yourself at risk. So, I mean, a lot of times it's just you're clipping the back end of a deer or the front end, and it's usually.
Yeah.
How many people have had a full-on deer hit, and it comes straight to their windshield?
Predators team bus. Mm-hmm. This is before they separated church and state, the staff from the players, and all of the players and the staff were on one bus. Coming from the airport, and the bus slowed down, but nailed a deer. Ooh. And it stopped. We had to stop and everything. It was not good.
Johnny in Hendersonville says, back to the deer. Happened to me a few years ago, and my insurance told me to always hit the deer instead of veering and hitting tree or car, etc. Deer is the comprehensive deductible, whereas the tree or car would be full deductible and go against your insurance points, etc.
Oh, wow.
It's not good news for the deer.
Yeah. Well, deer.
The deer will forget about it.
Deer, did you know that law was in place?
Right.
I wish the deer could get together and say, you know what, guys? We've got to stop running out.
They probably have. There's always knuckleheads. You know it. Always knuckleheads.
You know there was a big turkey convention in Portland.
Yes.
After Willie.
After what happened.
Oh, they will come and get you.
Yeah. The turkey with the little jelly leg now.
Yeah.
He's rolling in with a wheelchair. He's like, guys, I got a story to tell you.
I just want to tell you guys.
Hey, word in the roost is they looking for you, Willie.
It's been a couple months.
They still looking for you.
And if you see this car and this guy right here.
They still looking for you, Willie.
You let me know.
I did let out a hair-raising scream at the point of contact because I was startled as hell.
Did you scream?
Yeah, he did.
Ah! What do you think you would do if you saw a turkey?
Scream.
You say that now.
I'd be like, whoa.
I said a lot of words that are inappropriate. Like, ah. No, it wasn't high pitched, Derek.
No, I'm saying you threw your hands like, ah.
I wasn't like that. Yeah. I wasn't like
a startle
like in the old cartoons when the elephant would see the mouse.
Exactly.
And
yes.
Like that. I didn't do that.
Okay.
Oh, man. Good times. Good times. At least you weren't driving a Batmobile.
Yes, I was not.
As I was doing.
I'd have got 10 tickets.
Yesterday and this morning. Well, was it yesterday or this morning? I don't even remember. I think it was yesterday because we didn't get to it yesterday. When I'm planning for the show, you know, I'm going to all of the sports websites you would expect. I go to ESPN, The Athletic, Pro Football Focus. I've got all of my go-to websites bookmarked. And I saw a headline on the right side of ESPN.com yesterday. And I read it and I said, wait a minute, that can't be right. Bengals Joe Burrow, home burglary altered Batmobile plans. So I missed this. Joe Burrow, I guess when he was on Hard Knocks, I think the AFC North did the in-season Hard Knocks last year, he talked about buying a Batmobile, a $3 million Batmobile. By the way, I did the research.
Mm-hmm.
The $3 million Batmobile is not street legal. So
he just
why buy
to have it?
But he wanted to buy it.
Collector's item for him.
But if you recall, his house was broken into. A lot of professional athletes had their homes broken into. There was some sort of like international syndicate. I don't even know what you want to call it. It was happening like Travis Kelce, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Patrick Mahomes. It was happening to a lot of professional athletes. So he said on the quarterback show on Netflix, I decided not to buy the Batmobile because of the burglary. But I thought to myself, especially after I read it was not street legal, I was like, why would you buy a $3 million car that you, what, can ride up and down your driveway?
If you went 3.5 or whatever it is, could you make it street legal? Like, could you adjust, just take it down a notch?
I don't know the answer to that.
But, I mean, it's just for him, he feels, you know, if I got it, I can get it. And it's a collector's item, you know.
There are only 10.
Yeah, see?
Being made by Warner Brothers Discovery. 10 authenticated tumbler vehicles. The collectible vehicles are not street legal.
I mean, again, I think when you and some guys are more frugal than others. So, you know, you may see a guy that buys something so outlandish you look and you know, you say, well, why did you buy it? And then, you know, it's like, well, because I can. It's just one of those things. And I've always said, man, listen, when it comes to buying things, you got to stay in your lane. A lot of guys tend to try to go outside their lane and purchase something because the other guy has something or girl has something. And, you know, at first it's cool. I mean, because the checks are rolling in and everything else, but then you realize after a while those checks stop rolling in and you start to look back and you start to say, man, why did I buy that? Why did I buy that? This, that. And come to find out it all was worth really nothing in the big scheme of things. And but hell, he's pulling in probably 30 a year after taxes. Probably a little bit more than that.
Yeah, it's a drop in the bucket.
Yeah, it's a drop
Joe
in the bucket
Burrow.
For him.
But I thought, at least if you're going to buy a $3 million vehicle, you should be able to drive it somewhere.
Yeah, you're right.
But that's just me. I don't know. But I would be curious for all of you at 615-737-1025, in honor of Joe Burrow's foiled Batmobile plans, what is the most outlandish purchase you have made or almost made, just for fun?
Okay. Well, I think we should definitely draw the line that you did it.
Yes. Okay.
Yes,
what is the
did.
Most splurge. What What's is the most outlandish like, yeah. purchase you have made?
Yeah.
615-737.
I've thought about a lot of things. That power that you have, like, wait a minute, man.
Now I'm not expecting
that voice inside you is wait a minute.
You don't need
don't
that.
Do that.
I'm not expecting any of you to say a $3 million Batmobile. We live within our means around here.
We
but
should.
What is the most outlandish purchase you have made? Just for fun. 615-737-1025. We'll read your reaction, but also we're going to take a trip to the Titans stock market. As we approach training camp, we're going to do a little buying and selling with the Tennessee Titans, and we'll do that next. 615-737-1025. The Borchetta Bourbon Music City Grand Prix is coming to the Nashville Super Speedway Labor Day weekend, and 1025 The Game has your chance to win VIP tickets to the IndyCar race. Text in the keyword race, R-A-C-E, now to 615-737-1025 to be entered to win a pair of VIP tickets. For more information on the event, visit musiccitygp.com. 1025 The Game is teamed up with Pella Windows and the Nashville Humane Association for a puppy pet adoption this Saturday at Pella, 277 Mallory Station Road in Cool Springs from 10 to noon. For more details, visit thegamenashville.com/events. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan. Before we get to our Titans topic, in honor of Joe Burrow's foiled Batmobile plans, he was going to spend $3 million on a Batmobile that was not street legal. Or is not street legal. What is the most outlandish purchase you have ever made? Hair Metal Henry says, does marriage count as an outlandish purchase?
Well, I mean, marriage is. I mean, it is sort of a business transaction in a sense. Some of it anyway.
One texter wonders what the resale price on a Batmobile is.
Ooh, man.
Probably a little less than $3 million.
It all depends on how long you keep it.
It's actually $2.99 million. Oh, okay. So
somebody will buy for $3.5 million. Somebody will.
I was thinking back to athletes who have made these types of purchases. And for whatever reason, maybe it's because it happened around here, my mind immediately went to Vince Young. And the Cheesecake Factory. Mm-hmm. He reportedly had a $15,000 tab he covered for one meal at the Cheesecake Factory, which he admitted to Sports Illustrated several years ago. He said, quote, most I ever spent on a meal in my life, noting the teammates who downed expensive shots of Louis XIII cognac or left with top shelf wine bottles in hand.
Oh, so I wonder if, you know, it was because that does happen, and I've seen some very large tabs. You know, typically you go out to dinner, and somebody has to pick up the tab. Either they play, you know, pull a card from the hat.
Yeah, it's a credit card game.
Either that, or they designate a guy to pay for it,
and the rookies depending sometimes on pool
who's
together.
Paying for it. Yep. That's how many people will show up. If that guy's paying for it and he's making, you know, 7-8 figures, then, hey, he's the guy that's paying for it, and we're getting everything.
Now, in your day, when you knew that somebody was covering the tab, did you say, I'll get that extra expensive steak tonight?
No, because I knew, like, it would come back on.
Yeah, right. Karma.
It would come back on me. Like, I don't want to. I'm not going to get something outside of what I normally get. Like, I'm not going to order, you know, a chicken dish and, oh, give me the best wine you got. You know, the $7,000 bottle of wine. Give it to me. No, why am I drinking that? I never drink it, and I don't want to drink it. Give me just the regular wine, okay? Or give me a regular drink. I don't need. But some people, some players, woo, when they find out who's paying for it, good luck.
I always wonder about, because that's one thing is the teammates, mm-hmm, and going to a nice dinner and who pays for it. But the Batmobile thing is like a luxury item, mm-hmm, and you hear some great stories. Tim Hasselbeck told us one time about a teammate of his that he just had a big love of aquariums. Mm-hmm. So he like put a huge aquarium in his house. And like that was a lot. And he was like, when it first got in there, like, uh-huh, man, check this out. This is great. But
after a while,
it takes a lot, like a salt water, like treating the water and
fish
getting the right
was
fish.
Huge back then.
Yeah,
they were huge. Everybody wanted the fish tank.
So that's like, that would be a splurge, I would say.
Speaking of Bengals, Mike Tyson had multiple tigers, if I recall correctly.
Yeah. Multiple.
That's quite the splurge.
Shaq bought a whole aquarium, too.
Yeah, Shaq had an aquarium. The guy had to dive in there to clean it. Seriously. You had to dive in there to clean it. That's how big it was.
You had to put on scuba diving
gear?
Yes,
to clean it.
That's insane.
Yes.
That's a big aquarium.
That's
insane.
It's
a huge aquarium. But, I guess, you know, it all depends on whether it's a car. Because some things, like, I wouldn't consider a house or splurge in a sense. Because it's going to appreciate. If you keep the house, you know, long enough, you more than likely sometimes, if the market's good, you'll get your money back and some. Sometimes you may have to stay in the house a little bit longer to be able to get, you know, see some benefits from it. But I don't see a house as a splurge, unless you're buying like multiple houses.
Right, right.
You know, then
Herm
okay.
Edwards. Absolutely. One house, one of everything. One of everything. One house.
One fork, one spoon, one knife, one plate, one of everything.
And he said, one girl.
One girl.
Well, do you remember Jonas Esebes when that 1 week in spring training, he brought all his cars?
Oh, like, Jonas Esebes. Yeah, Esebes. Yep. Oh, my gosh. Yes. Now, that guy would splurge on some cars.
Oh, man.
There have been many a player a sport that get a little too excited about the
vehicle,
cars.
The four wheels.
Yeah.
What about
that?
That
can be a downfall.
What about Joe Namath's fur coat?
I guess back then it
would
was.
Would that have been splurging back then?
It may have been. Yeah, flashy, splurging. I guess not many people had a real fur coat.
Do you remember the basketball player Deshaun Stevenson?
Yep.
He had an ATM installed in his house.
Was that right? Because they did a lot of gambling, card betting, probably.
He stocked it with $20,000 in cash, ready to use at any time, which makes it an odd bet. Even crazier, if a friend feels like using it, they're hit with a 450 surcharge that goes right to Stevenson.
See, he's smart. It was smart. If you have a lot of people over and I don't know if he was, but if you're gambling and you say, man, I got to go to ATM. Hey, there you go.
$450, that's quite the service charge.
Hey, it's your money.
Yeah.
And they're getting charged. So you're making money.
Wes in Clarksville says, I feel bad spending $75 on dinner, and Joe Burrow is buying a $3 million Batmobile. Yes. Mm-hmm. Hey, man.
That's what I said. Hey, stay in your price lane, man. That's all you got to do. It's all relative.
While we're on the topic of buying and selling, with Titans training camp around the corner, I thought we'd take a trip to the Titans stock market. Whatever the Titans equivalent of Wall Street is. And here's what we're going to do. We are going to buy, quote unquote, and sell, quote unquote, stock in two players on each side of the ball. So we're going to pick an offensive player we're buying stock in and an offensive player we are selling stock in. And we will do the same thing on defense. A defensive player we're buying stock in and a defensive player we're selling stock in. So I thought I'd start. We'll start on the offensive side of the ball. I am buying stock in J.C. Latham. He lost a considerable amount of weight this offseason. He's moving back to right tackle, which is a position he knows well. I would argue he's probably the most natural athlete on the offensive line, and there's a lot of pressure on that offensive line. But I am confident that J.C. Latham, moving back to right tackle, slimming down, I think he's going to have a really solid season. So I'm going to buy stock in J.C. Latham. Conversely, I'm going to sell stock in Tajay Spears. And I know that the Titans are hopeful that Tajay Spears can take some work off of Tony Pollard's plate, so to speak. But as our dear friend Teron Davenport wrote recently, Spears missed 5 games last season because of 2 concussions, an ankle sprain, and a hamstring injury. He was expected to contribute in the passing and running games, but was limited to 114 touches. So I think this is a make-or-break year for Tajay Spears, and I know that he's had his moments, but the injuries concern me. I'm not as convinced that he is going to be able to help Tony Pollard lessen the load. So at this moment in time, I am buying stock on the offensive side of the ball in J.C. Latham and selling stock in Tajay Spears.
I'm going to buy low on Tajay Spears.
Okay.
I will buy your stock low.
Oh, okay. I like that.
And I am going, because I think he's going to have opportunity. It's because they didn't.
Pennies on a dollar.
Yeah, because they didn't bring anybody else in. And there will be opportunity. Tony Pollard's a year older, so I think there's a chance that Spears has a much better year this year.
Okay.
So I'll say Spears. Like I think he's like more of the penny stocks. Not that I do anything about this. But like I think Latham would be a more premium stock. Like he's a more safe bet, right?
Yes.
So I will go with Spears as my.
So who are you selling on the offensive side of the ball?
Oh,
whose stock are you selling
on right the now? Offensive side of the
yes.
ball?
If you're buying stock in Spears, who are you selling stock
in? Let me come back to that one.
Okay.
Let me come back to
it. Derek?
I want to know who Derek's
buying. I'm buying stock in Calvin Ridley.
Okay.
I think they are going to make it a point, you know, because when you have a young quarterback and you have a seasoned veteran, you know, receiver, you try to make that connection as quickly as possible because more than likely that is going to be the number one guy the young quarterback is looking at majority of the time, especially as the season gets going. Now, as it, you know, once you get into the latter part of season, hopefully the you know, the transition from the one to the two to the three, the progression, he starts to read a lot better. But I think at the beginning, it's going to be a lot of Calvin Ridley. Now, it was up to Calvin to make the catches, but it's going to be a lot of Calvin Ridley. So I'm buying stock in Calvin Ridley. I think he's underappreciated. I think the stock was low last year. I think he has an opportunity to, you know, whoever buys it, I think they have an opportunity to double their profit going to get Calvin Ridley. I think he feels more comfortable in this offense this year. You're going to see more of the Calvin Ridley that we saw in Atlanta. When I thought that when Atlanta cut him, the first thing I said, Titans, you need to go get him. You do. And everybody, don't touch him. This kid is a flat-out baller. He's getting his legs back underneath him. He's feeling comfortable in the offense, and I think he's going to take off this year. The guy I'm buying, not necessarily because I think he's a bad player, but because of his situation. Lloyd Cushenberry.
You're selling on Cushenberry.
I'm selling on Cushenberry.
Okay.
Because I just, with that Achilles, when he does become a starter, just like any other injury, we've seen it across the board with tackles and guards that have played for this team. That year they come back, or even edge rushers, that year they come back off that injury, they're not the same player. It takes them time. So this year to me is going to be sort of like a reintroduction to the offensive line for Lloyd Cushenberry. So the stock started to plummet. I get it because he was hurt. But I'm selling it because I just believe it's going to go lower than what it is now. And not because I think he's a bad player. It's a damaged product right now.
Willie, quickly.
That's a good
are
one.
You selling stock?
I will sell stock because I think I could get a good deal. I don't play the stock market, but I feel like I could get a pretty good price for selling Tony Pollard because his numbers look good. He's got three straight 1,000-yard rushing seasons, which always looks sexy on the surface. So I think I can find a buyer. So I'm going to sell fairly high on him because I think he's just reaching that age where running backs start to tail off a little bit.
615-737-1025. Buying and selling stock. We'll start on offense. You are buying stock in one Titans offensive player and selling stock in one Titans offensive player. Who are you choosing? 615-737-1025. We'll do the same exercise on the other side of the ball coming up next, but I want to hear your thoughts on which players on offense you are buying and selling stock in as training camp approaches. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025, 1063, the game. This week's Nashville's best deal is Mellow Mushroom. There's no pizza like Mellow Mushroom Pizza. Stone-baked with fresh ingredients, next-level imagination, and limitless options for customization. It's a higher order of pizza. You know and love Mellow Mushroom. Now get half off a $30 gift card now while supplies last at thegamenashville.com/deals. The gift card is good for the downtown Broadway and Franklin locations. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan playing the Titans stock market a little bit. Before the break, we were buying and selling stock in one Titans player on offense. I bought stock in, I don't even remember at this point, who did that? J.C. Latham, thank you. I sold stock
very,
in Tajay.
Very convicted.
Yes. I bought stock in J.C. Latham.
Memorable stock right there. Man, I just bought some great stock. What was it again?
Somewhere my financial advisor is, ugh. I bought stock in J.C. Latham. I sold stock in Tajay Spears. Willie bought stock in Tajay Spears and sold stock on Tony Pollard. And Derek bought stock in Calvin Ridley and sold stock in Lloyd Cushenberry. I remember yours, but couldn't remember mine. So we're going to do the same exercise on the defensive side of the ball. I don't think this will come as a shock. I think this is going to be a popular selection. I'm going to buy stock in the big man, Tavondre Sweat.
The meatloaf.
Yes.
Or as Derek coined Sweat and Jeffrey Simmons, Big Jeff and Enormous Sweat.
That's the group.
The R&B group touring all of the local casinos, opening for Drew Hill. Anyway,
is Drew Hill even torn?
Yes, actually, because I saw Drew Hill advertised on the billboard in town.
Wow. Okay. So he is touring. Good for you.
Tavondre Sweat is, Keith Sweat's younger, heftier brother who gets dragged on tour. Nevertheless, Tavondre Sweat, I saw this stat from Next Gen Stats on NFL.com. This was entering week 17, so near the end of the season. So it's not the final total, but impressive nonetheless. With Tavondre Sweat on the field this season, this is entering week 17, the Titans have allowed 4.2 yards per carry, which would be seventh fewest among all defenses. Without Sweat, they have allowed 4.9 yards per carry, which would be the third highest mark in the league. So Sweat made a huge difference, no pun intended, on the run defense. I think the run defense is the one area where Titans fans can really be confident in this team. I think that was the one aspect of the game that they were above average in last season, was stopping the run. So I like what I saw from Meatloaf / Enormous Sweat. So I will buy stock in Tavondre Sweat. Now, I can't sell the entire secondary. Mm-hmm. That was what I was thinking. Can I sell the entire secondary? Again, not a not an unpopular choice, I bet. I'm selling L'Jarius Sneed. Who knows how available he will be, if he is on the field, how healthy he will be. I'll believe it when I see it. So I'm selling stock in L'Jarius Sneed. No shocker there, I don't think.
I think you're selling low.
Yeah.
His stock is down.
Yes.
Yeah, you're selling low.
I'm dumping it. I'm dumping the stock.
You're just cutting your losses.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
But here, I'm here for you, Adam, once again.
Because you're going to buy low on L'Jarius Sneed.
I'm not buying low on L'Jarius Sneed. I'm staying away from that one. But I am going to buy low on Jarvis Brownlee.
Okay.
I think, again, this is a buy low, and I'm trying to say, can I end up winning this investment, get good return on my investment? I'm not saying we're going to see Brownlee Island at Nissan Stadium, right? Like Darrell Revis, the old Revis Island, they put him on the island. You can't get it. But I think he can be a solid corner. I think the growing pains, he was kind of thrown in there. And I think I saw enough to where he can be a steady corner for a while. So I think he's going to take another step forward. I'm buying low on Jarvis Brownlee.
Okay. There comes.
So if you sell him, Adam, I'm here. I'm buying low from you.
Okay.
Picking up the pieces.
You just sell them right to me.
Yeah, I don't play the stock market either.
Yeah. So.
There comes a time where you see something and you figure, like, it's either reached this point and you're going to let it go, or it's reached this point and you choose to keep it. I think this guy has reached this point. I think his stock is what it is, and it's best to sell it now because it has the potential to decline. Roger McCrary.
Okay.
I'm selling. I just think we've seen the best. He's a good player. He's just a solid player. There's nothing great about it. There's nothing necessarily bad about it. But he's one of those guys that has the potential to get upseated by someone else at that nickel position. This is a contract year for him. Typically I'm going against conventional wisdom because conventional wisdom tells me that contract year, a guy should play better because he knows that, he's auditioning for 31 other teams to get a bigger paycheck. So, but in this case, I just think we've seen the best of Roger McCrary. And I'm selling while I can because I think the stock is going to take a dip. And once it takes that dip, I don't think it's coming back up. So I'm selling Roger McCrary, and I'm buying, like you, Willie, I'm buying Jarvis Brownlee stock low because I have the opportunity to buy it at its lowest point right now and become a millionaire by the end of the season because I think his stock is going to explode. You remember that old, what's the name of that show that used to come on where the guy be making all the funny noises, the financial show? It was not a CNN show.
Mad Money?
Yeah, Mad Money. Yes. He make all it. Bye. That's Brownlee for me. Okay. He's that guy that you need to buy his stock. Buy now.
I'm going to sell on Amani Hooker because I just think he is, again, getting to the stage of his career where he already has piled up a
and you know
of
who
injuries.
He is.
You know who he is, but if you've already had this many injuries at this stage of your career, you're probably more apt to have more. And so I'm circling him as a guy that I would sell. I hope I'm wrong, but that's a guy I'm selling.
One texter says, Snead should not even be stock. It should be like Bitcoin because it's worthless.
Bitcoin.
Oh, man. That's a whole nother category right there.
Yeah, I know.
What about the fungible token? Or what do you call those things that people try to get you?
Oh, man.
Dogecoin?
Non-fungible?
I guess that's what it is.
NFTs. That was the whole thing. Remember?
Right.
NFTs.
I remember that.
Non-fungible token. For memorabilia and stuff.
Such a funny word, fungible.
Yeah.
Oh, man. People bought into it, too.
One texter says, buy stock in Xavier Restrepo. Sell stock in Treylon Burks. Use my capital loss from Burks on next year's taxes.
Burks hasn't become.
There something lower than a distressed asset? Because that's what Treylon Burks is at this point.
He hasn't even went public. Treylon Burks. He hasn't went public. He hadn't even generated enough money to go public. So he's not even in the discussion.
I am interested in the Restrepo stuff.
He hasn't even went public.
I know, but remember when he signed with the Titans as an undrafted free agent, a lot of Titans fans were freaking out. Like, it's going to be awesome. Remember, I told y'all, don't fall victim for those slickly produced videos during rookie minicamp.
Right. He'll be back in a couple weeks.
With Cam Ward throwing the perfect spiral in slow motion to Xavier Restrepo. Like that one guy who quote tweeted it and said, 1,000-yard season incoming for Restrepo. Don't do it. But now that we're getting closer to training camp, I think the Restrepo hype, Restrepo-palooza maybe is what I'll call it. I think that's going to build back up.
It may. I can't see why it
Restrepo,
will not.
Restrepo-roo? Like Bonnaroo? Restrepo-roo? Restrepo-palooza?
Yeah,
Restrepo-palooza. Well, you know, they had to shorten Bonnaroo. It got rained out. So yes. They're looking to market something. So why not?
Restrepo. There you go.
Restrepo-palooza.
There we go.
There
we
it
got
is.
It.
But I am curious how that
happened. It's going to ramp back up, I'm sure. Because, again, they're going to play a couple plays. He's going to make some plays in camp, and they're going to slow-mo them, and everything looks much better slow motion. Everybody wants their life to be viewed in slow motion because it looks so cool. But that's what's going to happen. And then he's going to have an opportunity to show whether he can play in this league this year or is he a guy that needs some more development.
615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Buy or sell with your favorite or least favorite, I suppose, Titans player on each side of the ball. You can buy one offensive player, sell one offensive player, buy one defensive player, sell one defensive player. If you've learned anything from me in this segment, it's don't ever take financial advice from me because I don't know what the hell I'm doing. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow will join us. We'll talk Titans. We'll talk NFL. We'll talk about, I don't know. We'll figure it out in the next few minutes. Jonathan Hutton's usually game for anything. We'll talk with Hutton coming up next. 615-737-1025. This fall, live at the Pinnacle at Nashville Yards, Tim McGraw will perform at Trintix's Rock the Cradle. This event is sure to be a great time celebrating a great cause. Proceeds from the event will support newborns and moms at Ascension St. Thomas Midtown. Get your tickets now at rockthecradlenashville.org.